you the better. Now, Jesu, defend me, said Beaumains, from such a villainous death and shenship asterisk of arms. Shenship, disgrace, returned a text. For rather than I should so be fair and withal, I would rather be slain manly in plain battle. So were ye better, said the damsel, for trust not, in him is no courtesy, but all goeth to the death or shameful murder, and that is pity, for he is a full likely man, well made of body, and a full noble knight of prowess, and a lord of great lands and possessions. Truly, said Beaumains, ye may well be a good knight, but he useth shameful customs, and it is marvel that he endureth so long that none of the noble knights of my lord Arthur's have not dealt with him. And when they rode to the dykes, and saw them double dyked with full warly asterisk walls, warly means warlike, returned her text. And there were lodged many great lords nigh the walls, and there was great noise of minstrelsy, and the sea beated upon one side of the walls, where were many ships and mariners' noise with hail and howl. And also there was fast by a sycamore tree, and there hung an horn, the greatest that ever they saw, of an elephant's bone. And this knight of the Red Lands had hanged it up there, and that if there come an any errant knight, he must blow that horn, and then will he make him ready and come to him to do battle. Page 260. But, sir, I pray you, said the damsel Lynette, blow ye not the horn till it be high noon, for now it is about prime, and now increaseth, footnote 1, his might, that as men say he hath seven men's strength. Ah, fie for shame, fair damsel, say ye never so more to me, for an he were as good a knight as ever was, I shall never fail him in his most might, for either I will win worshipfully, or die knightly in the field. And therewith he spurred his horse straight to the sycamore tree, and blew so the horn eagerly that all the siege in the castle rang thereof. And then there leapt out knights out of their tents and pavilions, and they within the castle looked over the walls and out the windows. Then the Red Knight of the Red Lands armed him hastily, and two barons set on his spurs upon his heels, and all was blood red, his armor, spear, and shield. And an earl buckled his helm upon his head, and then they brought him a red spear and a red steed, and so he rode into a little vale under the castle, that all were in the castle and at the siege might behold the battle. Chapter 16. How the two knights met together, and of their talking, and how they began their battle. Sir, said the damsel Lynette unto Sir Beaumains, look ye be glad and light, for yonder he is your deadly enemy, and at yonder window is my lady, my sister, Dame Lyonesse. Where? Said Beaumains. Yonder, said the damsel, and pointed with her finger. That is truth, said Beaumains. She beseemeth afar the fairest lady that ever I looked upon. And truly, he said, I ask no better quarrel than now for to do battle, for truly she shall be my lady, and for her I will fight. Page 261. And ever he looked up to the window with glad countenance, and the Lady Lyonesse made curtsy to him down to the earth, with holding up both her hands. With that the Red Knight of the Red Lands called to Sir Beaumains, leave, Sir Knight, thy looking, and behold me, I counsel thee. For I warn thee well, she is my lady, and for her I have done many strong battles. If thou hast so done, said Beaumains, beseemeth it was but waste labor, for she loveth none of thy fellowship, and thou to love that loveth not thee is but great folly. For an I understand that she were not glad of my coming, I would be advised, or I did battle for her. But I understand by the sieging of this castle she may forbear thy fellowship. And therefore wit thou well, thou Red Knight of the Great Red Lands, I love her, and will rescue her, or else to die. Sayest thou that? Said the Red Knight. Meseemeth thou ought of reason to beware by yonder knights that thou sawest hang upon yonder trees. Fie for shame, said Beaumains, that ever thou shouldest say or do so evil, for in that thou shamest thyself and knighthood, and thou mayest be sure that there will be no lady love thee that knoweth thy wicked customs. And now thou weenest that the sight of these hanged knights should fear me. Nay, truly, not so. that shameful sight causeth me to have courage and hardiness against thee, more than I would have had against thee, and thou were a well-ruled knight. Make thee ready, said the Red Knight of the Red Lawns, and take no longer with me. Then Sir Beaumains bade the damsel to go from him, and then they put their spears in their rests, and came together with all their might that they had both, and either smote other in the midst of their shields, that the Patrels, asterisk Patrels, breast armor for a horse, returned a text. Sir Singles, girths for a horse, returned a text. And cruppers brast, and fell to the earth both, and the reins of their bridles in their hands. And so they lay a great while, sore stonied, that all that were in the castle and in the siege weened their necks had been broken. Page 262. And then many a stranger and other said the strange knight was a big man and a noble jouster, for or now we saw never no knight match the Red Knight of the Red Lawns. And thus they said both within the castle and without. Then lightly they avoided their horses and put their shields afore them, and drew their swords, and ran together like two fierce lions, and either gave other such buffets upon their helms that they reeled backward both two strides, and then they recovered both, and hew great pieces of their harness and their shields that a great part fell into the fields. Chapter 17. How after long fighting Beaumains overcame the knight and would have slain him, but at the request of the lords he saved his life and made him to yield him to the lady. And then thus they fought till it was past noon, and never would stint, till at last they lacked wind both, and then they stood wagging, asterisk, wagging, tottering, returned a text, and scattering, panting, blowing, and bleeding, that all that beheld them for the most part wept for pity. So when they had rested them a while, they yied to battle again, tracing, rassing, foining as two boars, and at some time they took their run as it had been two rams, and hurtled together that sometime they fell grovelling to the earth, and at some time they were so amazed that either took other's swords instead of his own. Thus they endured till evensong time, that there was none that beheld them might know whether it was like to win the battle, and their armor was so forhewn that men might see their naked sides, and in other places they were naked, but never the naked places they did defend. And the Red Knight was a wily knight of war, and his wily fighting taught Sir Beaumains to be wise, but he had thought it full sore, or he did espy his fighting. And thus, by assent of them, both they granted either other to rest, and so they set them down upon two molehills there besides the fighting place, and either of them unlaced his helm and took the cold wind, for either of their pages was fast by them to come when they called to unlace their harness and to set them on again at their commandment. Page 263. And then when Sir Beaumains' helm was off, he looked up to the window, and there he saw the fair lady Dame Lyonesse, and she made him such countenance that his heart waxed light and jolly. And therewith he bade the Red Knight of the Red Lands make him ready, and let us do the battle to the utterance. I will well, said the knight. And then they laced up their helms, and their pages avoided, and they stepped together and fought freshly. But the Red Knight of the Red Lands awaited him, and at an overthwart smote him within the hand, that his sword fell out of his hand. Yet he gave him another buffet upon the helm, that he fell grovelling to the earth, and the Red Knight fell over him, for to hold him down. Then cried the maiden Lynette on high, O Sir Beaumains, where is thy courage become? Alas, my lady, my sister, beholdeth thee, and she sobbeth and weepeth, that maketh mine heart heavy. When Sir Beaumains heard her say so, he abrayed, asterisk, abrayed, started, returned a text, up with a great might, and gat him upon his feet. And lightly he leapt to his sword, and gripped it in his hand, and doubled his pace unto the Red Knight, and there they fought a new battle together. But Sir Beaumains then doubled his strokes, and smote so thick that he smote the sword out of his hand, and then he smote him upon the helm that he fell to the earth. And Sir Beaumains fell upon him, and unlaced his helm to have slain him. And then he yielded him, and asked mercy, and said with a loud voice, "O noble knight, I yield me to thy mercy." Then Sir Beaumains bethought him upon the knights that he made so to be hanged shamefully, and then he said, "I may not with my worship save thy life, for the shameful death that thou hast caused many full good knights to die." Page 264. "Sir," said the Red Knight of the Redlands, "hold your hand, and ye shall know the causes why I put them to so shameful a death." "Say on," said Sir Beaumains. "Sir, I loved once a lady, a fair damsel, and she had her brother slain, and she said it was Sir Launcelot du Lake, or else Sir Gawain, and she prayed me, as that I loved her heartily, that I would make her a promise by the faith of my knighthood, for to labor daily in arms until I met with one of them, and all that I might overcome I should put them unto a villainous death. And this is the cause that I have put all these knights to death, and so I insured her to do all the villainy unto King Arthur's knights, and that I should take vengeance upon all these knights. And, sir, now I will thee tell that every day my strength increaseth till noon, and all this time I have 7 men's strength." Chapter 18. How the knight yielded him, and how Beaumains made him to go unto King Arthur's court, and to cry Sir Launcelot mercy. Then came there many earls, and barons, and noble knights, and prayed that knight to save his life, and to take him to your prisoner. And all they fell upon their knees, and prayed him of mercy, and that he would save his life. "And, sir," they all said, "it were fairer of him to take homage and fealty, and let him hold his lands of you than for to slay him. By his death ye shall have none advantage, and his misdeeds that be done may not be undone, and therefore he shall make amends to all parties, and we all will become your men, and do you homage and fealty." "Fair lord," said Beaumains, "wit ye well I am full loth to slay this knight. Nevertheless, he hath done passing ill and shamefully. But insomuch all that he did was at a lady's request, I blame him less. And so for your sake I will release him, that he shall have his life upon his covenant, that he go within the castle and yield him there to the lady, and if she will forgive and quit him, I will well." Page 265. With this he make her amends of all the trespass he hath done against her and her lands. And also, when that is done, that ye go unto the court of King Arthur, and there that ye ask Sir Launcelot mercy, and Sir Gawain for the evil will ye have had against them. "Sir," said the Red Knight of the Redlands, "all this will I do as ye command." And pledges, ye shall have. And so then, when the assurance was made, he made his homage in fealty, and all these earls and barons with him. And then the lady Lynette came to Sir Beaumains, and unarmed him, and searched his wounds, and stinted his blood, and in likewise she did to the Red Knight of the Redlands. And there they sojourned 10 days in their tents, and the Red Knight made his lords and servants do all the pleasure that might unto Sir Beaumains. And so within a while the Red Knight of the Redlands yied unto the castle, and put him in her grace, and so she received him upon sufficient surety, so all her hurts were well restored of all that she should complain. And then he departed unto the court of King Arthur, and there openly the Red Knight of the Redlands put him in the mercy of Sir Launcelot and Sir Gawain, and there he told openly how he was overcome and by whom, and also he told all the battles from the beginning unto the ending. "Jesu mercy," said King Arthur and Sir Gawain, "we marvel much of what blood he has come, for he is a noble knight." "Have ye no marvel," said Sir Launcelot, "for ye shall right well wit that he is coming of a full noble blood. And as for his might and hardiness, there be but few now living that is so mighty as he is, and so noble of prowess." "It seemeth by you," said King Arthur, "that ye know his name, and from whence he has come, and from what blood he is." "I suppose I do," said Launcelot, "or else I would not have given him the order of knighthood. But he gave me such charge at that time that I should never discover him until he required me, or else it be known openly by some other.